Hi, and welcome back to another podcast. Today we're going to be talking about lectures and seminars. My name's Rachel, and you've probably heard my voice before, but I've just graduated from my degree in media.
Hi, I'm Christy. I believe you've also heard my voice a wee bit before, and I'm a level 3 public sociology student.
Cool. So I think basically today we want to talk about in-person lectures and seminars versus, you know, online lectures and seminars, and just speak about our experiences and how we prepare for them, rather than talking necessarily about this is what a lecture is, this is what a seminar is, you know, because we've sort of, that's been covered in other podcasts.
Yeah, so Rachel, we were just discussing a wee bit before we started our podcast here of so I'm a student that started under pandemic, so I've only experienced lectures and seminars digitally online, which is quite different to maybe the normal university experience. Would you say that, Rachel?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for me, I had 2 years, I guess, of in person, and then the last 2 years of my degree obviously was online. So there is a difference, and it was a bit of an adjustment. So if we start with lectures, think about that in person, you know, usually it is, to an extent, there's less of a difference with in-person lectures and online lectures compared with in-person and online seminars. But yeah, obviously you can't pause it and stuff.
I use that loads.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, definitely. I kind of like that about the online lectures.
Yeah, I feel like maybe like I'm obviously didn't get to experience any in-person lectures at Queen Margaret. I've done a tiny bit like in the distant past, and I often felt with the lecture in person, it would feel all overwhelming almost with how much information you were trying to scribble down, and like your arm was going, you know, you're just writing like crazy. Yeah. But also trying to keep one part of your brain listening to what's going on, and I also remember finding that quite overwhelming. Whereas the online lectures, I mean, I think like an hour long lecture, I probably take about 3 hours to do it, you know, with so much pausing and writing stuff down. And maybe that sounds, you know, at first I thought that was like poor time management on my behalf, but actually I realized that's how I get the information into my head, and it really gets in there by like taking my time listening to the lecture, pausing it whenever, you know, I need to catch up with what I'm writing, occasionally pausing it and being like, what's that word they just used? You know, look it up and be like, I'm trying to understand what we're on about, kind of thing. So the only thing I found with the online delivery of lectures is you do have to show a certain, a bit of discipline and to keep up with them, because it's so easy. You know, it's not like, you know, if it was an in-person lecture, I think if you didn't turn up, you'd feel guilty. There would be other people from your class who would be like, oh, why weren't you there? You know, things would be noticed. Whereas it's a video on the computer, you can so easily just pretend that you're not going to do it. But, you know, the thing is with university, it's all about our own personal learning. And the only person that loses out from that is yourself, kind of thing. You know, it just, as you know, simple as it sounds. I found that I had to really think about, right, well, it's going to take me 3 hours to get through this lecture, which, again, it seems excessive. But I think I took a similar approach to you, Rachel, where I wrote a lot of information out. But that really helped me when it came to the essays, is because I had all this huge amount of information that was already in my own words. And I found that easier rather than like sifting through like the lecturer's slides to try and find info. But yeah, I had to really think about, well, that's going to take me a long time to do that, and I'm going to need, you know, space either side of that to get myself comfortable and then to relax afterwards. So it was really quite, I had to think about my scheduling, basically, just not just dismiss it as like, oh, that's an hour, I can just listen to that whenever. I really had to be like, when am I going to plan that? When is going to be a good time for me to sit down and take all this information in properly? So I think that's one thing you got to be disciplined about.
Whereas obviously if you're going to an in-person lecture, that's scheduled for you. You know, it's like you're doing that at this time. So I kind of had to do that for myself. And at the start, I didn't do that. And I've just found that difficult, so I just kind of started to schedule them for myself at set times, as if, you know, that's
you were attending the lecture. I think that's an important approach. I think that's the only difference, really, when you've got it on your own terms. But yeah, No, I think it worked pretty well. And then I suppose we've got also seminars to chat about. Is there, are you ready for us to move on to that, Rachel?
Yeah, definitely.
Great. So I had seminars, unfortunately, online, which weren't the best. I think you
No.
can probably imagine, you know, no one wants to talk, no one wants to sort of pipe up, and that's what a seminar really is about, is like getting that discussion to, like, you know, spark each other's ideas. But my understanding is seminars will be in person. That's the plan for the teaching
Yeah.
plan for when we all get back.
Yeah.
So I don't know, do you have any thoughts about seminars you want to share with us, Rachel?
Yep. I didn't like the online ones
Yeah.
either. Not to bash them, but
No,
oh
they're trying their best, yeah.
yeah, no, exactly. And it's a very difficult situation, but obviously seminars are the more interactive part, and if that's how you learn best, the online ones weren't for me as conducive to that sort of learning that seminars are there to kind of facilitate, really. And in-person seminars, you'll find that people are more likely to talk, whereas it's so easy online to just switch your camera off and switch your mic off, and no one's going to force you to turn your camera on. They can't. You're in your own space, you know what I mean? And people seem to be a lot more reluctant to switch their cameras on. And that does make a difference. And I think with that comes a reluctance to switch your microphone on. And I can understand it because it is scary, it's a different environment. If you're there in person, it's much easier to kind of talk. You don't have to, like, you can't really put like a screen up in front of your face, you know what I mean? Like, you
Can't
have
just like sink into the wall. No, don't really.
yeah, you might want to at some points, but hopefully
Yeah.
not.
No. No, and
But
that's it is an awkward situation for everyone at first with seminars. And I think that's part of what I found from it was like, don't be hard on yourself. Just, you know, if something pops into your head, just say it, you know, because the amount of times where like I've been thinking something and then I'm like, oh no, that's stupid, I shouldn't say it. And then I push myself and say it. And then other people in the class are like, oh yeah, I was wondering about that too. So I think it is
Yeah.
an environment in which we kind of have to, yeah, push ourselves a little bit and such. And
Yeah. If you can kick start a conversation, that's the main thing, and it's really interesting. This is, and I think I said this in the Teacher Methods podcast, but that's the interesting thing about seminars is that people come up with different things from, and you get more perspectives than you might get from a lecturer talking from their perspective, or even giving different theories. A lot of the time in seminars, you can kind of apply it to certain things, and that can really help your understanding, or people might come up with an idea that wasn't mentioned, and that's one of the really good things, I guess, about seminars.
yeah, no, I agree completely. And it's actually one of my most enjoyed things about learning is that kind of bouncing about of ideas. And when someone's like, oh, but what about this? Or, you know, and it really helps me understand concepts and then be able to take them into other directions. So, yeah, fingers crossed seminars are going to mostly be in person this year. But there is a possibility, you know, we're living with COVID now, we might have another lockdown. And I would say if that is the case, I would encourage people to try and put your camera on, try and put yourself forward. It's going to be awkward, but you know, it's still a worthwhile thing to try and engage with. But hopefully they'll be in person. And I suppose we talked a wee bit about like preparing for lectures. I suppose seminars probably even need generally more preparation work than I would say for a lecture, just in terms of like the amount of readings that you generally set. And again, this is going to be like different departments, different lecturers are going to do things differently. Like some lecturers might give you a sort of key reading and then, you know, maybe four or five associated readings and you're to choose one or two out of them. Or it might just be a general list and you're to choose a couple of them or whatever it may be. But I think the big thing to recognize with that is reading takes time. I don't know about you, but like our reading, you know, they're like, oh, you look at it and you're like, oh, it's just like 11 pages. Oh, that'll be all right. and then again 3 hours later, you know, I don't know if it's 3 hours to 11 pages, but it generally I found always took me longer to do readings than I thought it was going to.
Yeah, that was a big surprise for me coming into academia, was how long. And a lot of people say that as well. I've heard people say, oh my god, it, you know, it took me an hour to read this article. And lecturers as well, like, I've said, you know, that's normal. That's how long it takes me to read an academic article. Mm-hmm. And because they're not easy reads, you know, it's not something you would want to like take to bed to read. To, well, it might send you to sleep sometimes.
Yeah, it might send you to sleep. But exactly.
So it's about, again, disciplining yourself, setting that time aside to make sure you're doing the readings, and it really will help you for seminars when you're having those discussions.
Yeah, I don't know if you ever found, I found sometimes with readings that I'd be reading something and I'd be like, I don't have a clue what this is on about. Like, you know, and it makes you feel quite disheartened or whatever. But then mm-hmm. I found like, if I just sort of slogged through that and just was like, right, okay, I accept I don't understand a lot of it. But then as I moved forward and then did a couple of more readings, suddenly things would fall into place. And I suppose my message from that is, don't give up when you're disheartened. Even if you're reading something and it's like, I don't get this, don't just be like, oh, that means I can't understand anything. Just accept that maybe some writers, they write things in terribly confusing and awkward ways. And it's okay to just like maybe put it aside for a minute and try out one of the other ones, or even just, you know, just summarize what you can from it.
Yeah.
In your notes or mentally or whatever, however you do that. And then go to the seminar and say, yeah, I found that quite difficult. I didn't really understand that. And inevitably there'll be other people who are like, yeah, I didn't either. And my way of getting around it was this, or, you know, I found this good reading that helped or whatever. So I think it's something to accept we'll find things difficult, and that means, you know, we should still persevere with those difficult things, because yeah, it'll help us understand.
And even I found, you know, when I've had readings like that, and you will come across readings like that, because it's about how you process things as well. And some writers, like you were saying, they don't, you know, connect with how you understand things, and so it becomes difficult to read, and you won't be the only one in that situation, and it doesn't make you, you know, silly if you can understand this particular writer's way of writing. And going to the seminar I found was really good, because even if, and I've had it where everybody in the class that has gone to the seminar kind of said, you know, I didn't understand this. Mm-hmm. And so that helps lecturer know, first of all, and then they can also sort of explain it or get us to tease out little bits that we did understand, then applying it to what was in the lecture or what was in other readings or what we already know. So I would say, even if you don't understand the reading necessarily, just try it and still go to the seminar. Because worse comes to worse, like you were saying earlier, and I'm not sure if it was on the podcast or not, but worse comes to worse, you sit and you listen and you'll still take something away from it.
Absolutely. I agree so strongly with that. I've had that in the past where I was like, oh, I don't understand this, I can't go, you know, I'm too stupid to go, you know, all these sort of negative things we start thinking about ourselves. Mm-hmm. But actually, even if at times I've gone to a seminar and I felt I've not done as much prep work as I would be happy with, but I still got so much from being there, and it was still so worthwhile, that it was like, if I had just trying this because I felt too overwhelmed, I would have suffered from that. So I completely agree with that one, Rachel, that just try it. And even, you know, I mean, put your hand up and be like, yeah, I've had a rubbish week this week, I've not got through all the readings. People, like, lecturers here just, you know, want to work with you and are understanding. No one's going to be like, oh, you're rubbish, you know, whatever. No one's going to be cruel to you or mean to you about these things, you know. So I think, yeah, I'd totally echo that as well. But yeah, I guess I'm not sure if that kind of, I think that all what kind of covers what we were going to chat about lectures and seminars today.
I think that's basically what we wanted to say.
Just trying to think about how you're going to engage with these things and give yourself the space and time to get the most from it, really.
Yeah.
I'll be looking forward to being back in a seminar room with lots of other people to chat away for ages. So
yeah, hey. And I'm starting a master's, so hopefully, you know, first and only year of that,
yeah.
I am hoping that you know, they'll be in person as well. So fingers crossed. But I think it's looking good, basically.
It is looking good. And I think there was an understanding from the teaching that occurred last year that seminars are really the thing that don't work online. So I think mm-hmm. there's been, you know, I think the university's been quite sensible about it being like, right, we'll give you video lectures and we'll do what we can to get you on campus for seminars. So
yeah.
Looking forward to it. So I hope everyone that's listened today has maybe found something helpful from what we're chatting about. And that, yeah, you guys are all excited about coming to university and starting the next step in your learning.
Yep. So we'll leave it there. Thanks very much, guys. And we'll hopefully see you again in the live sessions or, you know, in another podcast. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.